I was a textbook narcissist. I used drugs and girls and even success to try to feel like I was something. But in the end, I still felt like nothing.
Real life starts now.
This is Real Life Radio Show with On Lay.
I felt alone. I felt lost. I felt scared.
Real stories.
I was so desperate in living such a dark and callous life.
Real people.
I was thinking there was no purpose for my life. There's no reason for me to be here.
Real problems.
I told my dad, if you try to take these drugs, I'm going to kill you.
One solution. God.
Hope is a person, and his name is Jesus.
And now your host, On Lay.
Hi, this is Evangelist On Lay. Welcome to the Real Life Radio Show, where we're going to talk to real people who had real problems, who found answers in a real God. Today, we're going to talk about whether or not someone who is narcissistic, which is very selfish and destructive, can ever change their ways. Now, many feel like once someone is a selfish or narcissistic person, that they will always be that way. But is that true? Well, in the American Psychological Association Dictionary, selfishness is listed as the tendency to act excessively or solely in a manner that benefits oneself, even if others are disadvantaged. Have you ever been around someone like this? Well, today in our show, we will have Salim Muslimani, who lived a very selfish life, doing whatever it took to get to the top without any regard of how he hurt others along the way. He believed that if he built up enough significance into his life, that he would be able to be fulfilled and happy. But now he says Jesus changed his life so much that he's totally changed and that God has given him his true purpose. Salim, welcome to the show.
Hey, An, thank you so much for having me. I'm super thankful to be here.
Awesome. Salim, thanks so much for coming on the air to talk with us about this. And I'm excited to hear about this. Your story is very relatable to many, I think, because there's people out there who have had a narcissistic boyfriend or girlfriend, and they're just like, I want to hear what exactly this is. So let me ask you a question. Do you think a narcissistic person or someone who deals with it can change?
Well, you know, that question, if I were to answer that question right out of the gate, I would say absolutely. But there really is only one cure, and that's through Jesus Christ. And the reason I say that is because selfishness is something, you know, for myself, the way I grew up and the way I launched into adulthood, you know, I was out fighting for myself. And I was hurt badly by my past. You know, so I only thought about me and at the cost of whoever and whatever.
Wow.
You know, for me, trying to fill every void of my life with things and stuff and trying to meet every single need I could and ending up empty. It really wasn't until Jesus Christ came into my life and made the difference. I mean, he was the one that began radically changing my heart, and not even just my heart, but I mean, to a soul level. I mean, I needed absolute transformation.
Salim, that's interesting. Tell us about how you grew up. Like, did you grow up with a life where you were the main child getting attention, kind of like a golden child, or what was it?
Man, no, it was absolutely not that. I grew up in a very broken, dysfunctional home, grew up in poverty.
Oh, wow.
It was a rough road. I was one of four children on my mother's side. I was one of two on my dad's side.
Wow.
Just a lot of neglect, abuse, an environment that was just not conducive to raise any child in.
I mean, when you say neglect, though, Salim, are you talking about, like, were there times where you're hungry? Were there times that you didn't have enough food?
Well, I would say, yeah. I grew up in a home where I was an outcasted child. I grew up with my father, who was married to a woman that was not my mother.
Oh.
And, you know, she was just spiteful and just, she didn't like me because I wasn't hers.
Yeah.
And it was one of those things where, you know, she married my dad and I was already there. I guess once the honeymoon phase, you know, wore off, she sort of began to run the show and my dad was just kind of along for the ride. And, you know, it was just neglect from the standpoint of no lunch money, no free lunch, no nothing, no Christmas, no birthdays, no holidays.
Wow.
Work for your own clothes, find a ride to school.
Wait, so what do you mean no lunch money? So like you'd be going to school and like, I mean, wouldn't people notice you weren't eating?
Yeah, so I'd be there. I mean, I remember my entire high school career, 4 years of going into the lunchroom and, you know, you sit with all your friends and, you know, everyone would be eating lunch. But I remember lunch was $1.25.
Oh my gosh.
And I remember thinking I would go to school and I wouldn't have enough money to buy lunch. And there'd be times when my friends would, you know, ask me, hey, what are you doing, man? You don't ever eat. And I'm like, oh, I'm just not hungry, you know? And I was embarrassed because I was that kid who didn't have the means.
Wow. Well, Salim, that's interesting though. There's a lot of kids nowadays who go through this where they're at school and they don't have enough money for school lunch and they just say they're not hungry, but deep inside there's this hunger but this shame that's developing. And I can see this, like there's this hunger and shame developing in your life. You're probably needing to grow up needing to feel significant because you probably didn't feel significance in your life growing up. Is that right?
Absolutely not. I mean, the shame kept building up and building up and building up and feeling insignificant because I wasn't getting that love at home. I would go out looking, you know, for ways to find significance in other things and kind of produce that significance myself.
Right. That makes a lot of sense, actually. How did that express itself? I understand when you're a teenager, you started exhibiting really selfish and maybe even narcissistic behaviors, especially regarding relationships of your past. Tell us a little bit about that.
Oh, yeah. I mean, well, I was, you know, going out and started experimenting with drinking and drugs and hooking up with girls. You can imagine, you know, I'm a young guy, 14, 15 years old. I'm getting high. I'm going to parties. We're getting drunk. And this becomes a lifestyle. So now this is medicine for me.
Hmm.
At the end of the day, as human beings, we all crave community. And it's where do you find that community, right?
Yeah.
I found community in a group of friends that were all pursuing the same thing. We just wanted to go out, wanted to party, wanted to get high. You know, that led to other things and sex and sleeping around. That opened up a whole new can of worms because now I started messing with girls and girls started, you know, having feelings. And I was just like, I don't care about you. I don't care about anybody. I just care about myself. I want to please myself. I want to take care of myself. I was only worried about me because in my home where I grew up, that was the reality.
Wow.
I had to protect me and I had to take care of me. And when I was backed into a corner, it was all about me.
Yeah.
Thinking about others was nowhere near on the radar.
So these relationships, they were shallow. You were engaging these relationships to get something from them, something that you wanted. And as soon as you got what you wanted, what happened?
I mean, just move on, find something new.
Yeah.
Maybe even keep girls around, toy with them. I wanted them when I wanted them and I wanted others when I wanted them. It was just bouncing around.
Ah, so like cheating on this girl, getting this from this girl, and then at the same time, this other girl. And then when you don't need this other girl anymore, you just dump her, that kind of stuff, right?
Right. And I had no regard for women at all. I mean, to be honest, because my mom was never in my life. I mean, she left, you know, when I was young and I lived with my dad and she came around and she was in and out of my life, bouncing around for a couple of years. And then at 10, 11 years old, she left. And that was the last time I saw her. So I didn't have a motherly figure in my life. Oh. And then I have a father who he's culturally Muslim. He grew up in Palestine.
Wow.
He barely had any respect for women either. So the leadership in my life, there was none.
I get it. I get it. Well, let me ask you a question, Salim. What did you think brought you feelings of significance as a young man?
You know, when my friends would want to be around me, when they would praise me when I was high, when I was drunk and we were hanging out and we were at parties and we were laughing and, you know, joking. I mean, I played sports. You know, if I played well, I mean, I felt like I was earning respect.
Yeah. The compliments. So you were eating up compliments everywhere. Like it was all about people supplying you compliments. Is that right?
Absolutely. I mean, I lived for that because I got none of that at the house.
Oh, wow. So what if somebody delivered a criticism, even if it was gentle, how did you respond?
Oh, I mean, I was just off the wall. I mean, I, you know, would avoid it at all costs. But if somebody was to confront me with an issue they saw in my life, I would express that in verbal attack, you know, anger.
Wow. So you would attack them?
Absolutely.
Okay, so you can handle it. Yeah, that makes sense. Let's stop here, Salim. I want to hear about how all this turned around for you. And it happened when you got married, and I understand that it almost destroyed your marriage. So, Salim, thanks so much for coming on with us. I'm looking forward to having you on again.
Absolutely. Thank you, Han.
Hold tight. I have some thoughts to share with you right after this short break.
Hey, we need your help. We're on a mission to go worldwide with the gospel. You can donate as little as $10 a month. That is only 34 cents a day. Just $10 will help us reach 1,000 more people to spread the gospel to the world. You can donate monthly or one time to our ministry at www.therealliferadioshow.com. You can also sign up to get our email updates and access to our personal growth programs, where Onlay will send teaching sessions to help you in your personal walk with the Lord.
Real Life Radio is a ministry of Awakening the Nations, a 501c3 nonprofit organization that depends on your donations. If you would like to find out more about us or to make a tax-deductible donation, please visit our website at www.therealliferadioshow.com. That's www.therealliferadioshow.com. Please help us to expand the reach of these shows. We couldn't do it without you. More Real Life starts now.
Welcome back to the show, where we're going to go deeper into what you just heard. So what do you think about this? As we're listening to this story, you're probably wondering if he was a narcissist. I mean, boy, this mental disorder is thrown around so much these days. But as we're listening, it sounds like he was very self-focused in his life, that he was trying to be something great in order to become someone. According to mental health experts, narcissistic traits can exist in all of us, but someone with the actual disorder can't really ever change. Once a narcissist, always a narcissist. But is this true? Something to know about selfishness is that people who are super selfish, even narcissistic, don't have a good self-concept. It's almost like a person who truly doesn't know who they are, not knowing their own value. You know, you can hear this in Salim's story. He was trying to become someone. He was trying to reach a certain level so that he could become successful, popular, and he would find himself. And many go on this journey in life, thinking that if they attain to a certain level of success, that I've truly arrived. I have value. I've become something in my eyes and the eyes of others. But is this real? Does this happen when you quote-unquote arrive? Look at Salim's story. He was going through life. He was blind to the fact that he could pretend a lot of things about himself and in front of others. But deep down inside, he didn't know who he truly was. It's written in 2 Corinthians chapter 4, verses 3 through 4. But even if our gospel is veiled, it's veiled to those who are perishing, whose minds the God of this age has blinded, who do not believe, lest the light of the gospel of the glory of Christ, who is the image of God, should shine on them. Now, I want to explain why this verse has something to say about Salim's story. You see, according to this ancient verse, there's a whole entity who is called the God of this world. It's Satan. And his job, he's blinding the eyes of the minds of those who don't know God. And that's where Salim was. And when we're blinded, we are in darkness and we're not in the light. And that really explains that Salim was in such a spiritual darkness that he couldn't see himself nor who he was. He didn't see his value. He didn't have a good self-concept because it was an unknown. So he spent time trying to look good on the outside, but on the inside, there is spiritual decay. He didn't know who he truly was. He had to make himself. And in a small way, all of us can kind of relate to that. I think that all of us, when we're younger, we don't really know who we are. We're trying to make something of ourselves. And I'm not saying that that in itself is narcissistic or selfish. I'm just saying that we can all start this way. But how does someone truly find out their value? How do you think of yourself? What dictates your value? Some listening here have this internal script. Like you keep reminding yourself of the good things and achievements you've done in the past. You maybe remind others as well. But in the end, you somehow feel like it's not enough. Father God, I'm praying for the person who's living in the level of darkness of not understanding your value that you've placed inside of them. Lord Jesus, you as the light of the world, please illuminate who we truly are. We're asking for this in Jesus' mighty name. I hope you're blessed by this testimony, and I know that your life was touched.
You can shop online at www.therealliferadioshow.com and click on our merch page. Shop clothes, mugs, backpacks, and more. See you next time.